appeared a great wonder in heaven. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them down on the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as born. And we go on this dragon that's in this part of the whole universe, where all the stars are. Then it goes 9 verses to that great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice crying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom for our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God and before night. And they overcame," here's my text tonight, "and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they hurt not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, that ye dwell in them, and the habitation of the earth." This is the rejoice, is Jesus, the power of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. When I sat on the seats of authority in heaven, the seven of them, back behind those seats is a long corridor, big long corridor that reaches right to the brink of the walls of heaven, or the crust of heaven. Looking out through that is this great bottomless pit, which is a horrible thing to talk about. Now, I want to bring this in real quick. The story of Adam and Eve in the garden, it's a wonderful story. But there were pre-Adamites, and those pre-Adamites were those that were fallen angels cast out of heaven. This is evidently where Cain got his wife. Now today they're trying to do the same thing, trying to put the hearts of monkeys, baboons, into humans, trying to bring back that same thing. That's what happened, was the spirits coming to life and becoming flesh. That's where they got it from. It's very, very clear and very truthful. But now, who started all this mess of causing this pre-Adamite mess? God wanted a people to follow him and created man in his own image. Now you take the blood of a black man, will mix with the blood of a white man. That's a fact, showing both are humans. But the blood of a monkey will not mix in either the black man's veins or in the white man's veins, showing there's a difference. You inject monkey blood into a black man's veins and he'll die, because there's no connection whatsoever, because we're humans. We think we have a soul, and so does the white, black, and any other color has a soul. And that soul is put in there, which is God, in that man. For God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. Who has more soul than the black people? You should see them singing and praising God and glorifying God. I mean, they get you down to where you live in. But I want to tell you one thing, friends. The devil is the cause of all trouble and all chaos. And all of this trouble is caused by the devil, caused by the demon powers of the enemy. For God cast him out of heaven. He's been making trouble ever since. But God's got a place for him and his followers and those who are wicked. The wicked ones will go, the wicked. I'm talking about wicked people. Now, to be an unbeliever is not necessarily to be wicked. To be wicked is a person, actually a wicked person, because that unbeliever has a chance to believe. That's the ones we want to go after, is that unbeliever who needs Jesus. But sometimes those wicked are so bad, they never turn to Christ. They reject him until the day of death, and they're wicked people. Now there's going to be a first resurrection. That's of the righteous, a resurrection of the body of Christ. Then there's going to be a second resurrection. That second resurrection is going to bring all kinds of them out of the grave. Going to bring them out. When they're brought out of the grave, they're going to be brought up before God for judgment. Now, there's one part of that resurrection is going to be called by the sheep and the goats. And that's the name it's used. And the goats using, which is mean sheep, but it's a term used, not saying against the old goat. The poor old goat shouldn't put anything on him. He's just a goat. But it is a term meaning a non-sheep. That's what it means. Not any bad thing about a goat. A goat's a pretty animal. But here is those who are put to the left hand of God. That's what's going to happen. Now that also with that group is going to be brought the wicked. They're going to mix with the ones that rejected God, the rejectors. That's why we need to go after those unbelievers and bring them, and the ones that are not saved, bring them into the fold of God and let us all march to heaven in glory. We're marching to Zion, like the song says. March to glory with Jesus. Now we go on to this window of heaven. Now the other side of the right hand of God is the windows of blessing. The windows of the wonderful, wonderful windows of the tithe and offering, the love offering, and also the heave offering, all the offerings over on the right hand side of God, clear across heaven. Now I'm not speaking about a place a few feet. No way. I'm speaking of a place thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles. Here's these windows. Now, in the middle of it all sits the throne of God. Now, you go the other way of the left hand of God. You go hundreds of thousands of miles towards another window. And this window is a big window because it says hell has enlarged her part. Outside of that window, but going through this corridor, behind the seats of authority, right there, like kind of underneath, a little lower in the seats, passing through, like a dungeon seat, all, like a dungeon passage almost. It's low. It's down below the level of the seats of authority. So then you go down. Anything bad, you go down. Anything good, you go up. Because you all say that fellow's gone down. Boy, he's gone up in the world. That's always been the thought of human, either up or down. Even they say he's in the gutter, he's surely down out there. He's in bad shape because he's gone down. Because he's down somewhere where he's gone. But now we're up with God on the throne. I want to bring this into your mind, what heaven is. Then when you're cast and depart from me, God will say at this second judgment, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then all the wicked will automatically cast them. They will not even already recognized before the judgment. They will be called wicked, absolutely wicked. They won't even get near God. That's right, the work of iniquity will, but not the wicked will even get near him. No way, even no way. But he'll pass judgment on them just the same. They'll hear his voice. They'll hear his voice in this judgment. Then they'll go through this long corridor passageway. And then at this great big window, I stood at the edge of this great big window, stood there. And it was a horrible sight. I was one time in California on the top of a great big cliff, looking down 2,000 feet, I would say, below, way up in the mountains of California. There was this tremendous valley, and this cliff moved out over the top of the side of the mountain. You could look down. Just one little waver of unbalanced, I'd have fell 2,000 feet down. I wouldn't do it today. I was young and foolish enough to do something like that. That's right, to get out there and stand right on the tip of that big precipice. I want this to give you an idea what the thoughts was. I thought about that many times. How that if I'd have just, if little wind could have pushed me over, down, and I'd have been falling through to immediate death. That's right. So I was really and truly astonished at myself that I could do such a thing. But here I am in heaven, looking at this big window. Standing out at the edge of this big window, I could look right down into the bottomless pit. How could it be a bottomless pit? As a young boy, I used to wonder why that would be a bottomless pit. but it is a bottomless pit. Looking out through there, it is at least 10 miles across it. Now, I'm talking about 10 miles. That's a big hole. And there's no bottom in it, absolutely no bottom in it at all, no bottom. And I could see souls in there, bodies and souls, slipping down on each side of it, going down, down, down. Wicked, 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 wicked. This is a terrible thing to talk about, but it's true. Falling down in there and trying to clutch their ways out. And no way, just keep falling forever and forever and forever and forever. Never stop falling, never. Billions of years, a long ways down there, and keep on falling down into the bottomless pit. What an awful feeling that will be. That's right. But the devil that caused all the trouble, sorry to say, is going to be cast into that bottomless pit. Here's the way the battle's going to take place. There's going to be a battle, as I told you before, cleared out among the stars. Jesus is going to come out of heaven, so is Michael, going to come out of heaven, and they're going to capture the devil. Capture him. What a time that's going to be to get the devil captured. Going to capture him. His seven heads, his ugly beast, Satan the devil, going to capture him. Bunch on his tail, bunch on his head, and they're going to ride him to the edge of the bottomless pit, right, the entrance of it comes, right up into the side of the new heaven. That's right. Now, it proves in the Bible it can be opened and closed. It can be opened. God can open. The only one can open it's God. The only one can close it's God. That's all. In other words, you'll keep falling, 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 and never hit bottom. That must be going to be, oh, God, keep me or any of my friends out of that mess. Sure, oh, wouldn't that be awful to get in that? That'd make a man serve God no matter whatever happened, some way or another. Just think of that. Here they would, and then I saw them falling down. But then, when Satan's put down in there, God's going to have power to bring him back up and loose him out of there. What are you going to do that for? I don't know. But he's going to, just a short season, he's going to let the devil come back up out of there and just look and see what he could have had if he would have really served God. I don't know what God's going to do at that time. That will be absolutely his prerogative what to do, God to do at that time. But he's going to bring him back up out of there. Now, remember, he has been falling down there for 1,000 years. Falling for 1,000 years. Now, he'll be away down there a long, long ways in 1,000 years. Falling, let's suppose he's going down there at 1,000 miles a minute. Suppose he's going down there, I don't know what speed he's going to, but he's been falling that long. Way down it, and then God's going to have enough power to turn him around. Turn him, make him come back up. And a lot of his followers are going to come back. Now, what God's going to do that time, that's God's business, not mine. But he's going to bring him up and let him turn him loose a while, let him look at the earth. Ooh, what power God's got to turn him around, falling 10,000 miles a minute. He's down there several trillion miles, down in that bottomless pit. Because there's no finish to space down there. No. I want you to think of that. No finish to space. No finish. No end. No finish. So they'd pay to go to the planet heaven, wouldn't it? Be safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in his tender care. But here as I looked out down in that, now as Jesus let me look over on the other side of the right hand of God and looking out into the millions and millions of miles of eternity, seeing where we're going to be able to travel to, and then let me go the other side of heaven, hundreds of thousands of miles on the other side of heaven, and look into the bottomless pit. What an awful, awful place to look in. Terrible. And down below in the bottom, you could see fire burning down in there. I don't know how far that fire down, you could sure have seen it. So that's what you call a fiery hell, must be. Must be some, because you could see fire, but yet they were still falling. Now God, one thing about God, he's got a power. You say, once they're in there, gone. Well, that's God. He's got power to bring them out. Isn't that something? God's got the power to bring somebody back up out of there for all those billions of miles. That's the kind of power God is. But then, at a certain time, he's going to close the gate of hell. Going to close it clear up. Going to close the gate of hell, clear it up, And then we'll be in joy and peace forevermore. This is what Jesus told me in heaven. Then when you look down and then turning around, coming back through that corridor where I went to look, where Jesus let me look. He let me look down into hell. Look down into the fiery place of hell. When I got back there, I felt so good. I felt so wonderful in my soul to think that my soul hadn't gone down in there. My, what a wonderful feeling. When I come up, went back before God, up before the throne of God and all over God's heaven, somebody said in Wichita, Kansas, said, I've checked your story many times. I don't know what you had, but you must have had a wonderful dream. Well, it was not a dream, friend, because I was gone. I don't dream for 6 full days. You don't dream that long. And especially when you have no recollection of anything, you don't understand. You have absolutely no mind whatsoever. You're a vegetable, and your soul's gone. So absolutely it was no dream. And you say, well, it could have been a vision. Well, it was no vision because my soul was there, and it brought back such all these great information of heaven. All inside of heaven, with God, with glory, and with the angels of God, with the angels, with all of the archangels. And to get back into heaven from looking at the end of that long, dark tunnel, going through underneath those seats, there's, you just see down the other, and you see the light of this bottomless pit, shining by the powers of the devil, not the light of God, but such a difference. The powers of the devil coming out of there. The powers lit up by the power of the devil. My, I'm telling you, what something. There it was. But yet God in his power, God, such a power, such a great power of God, he's got power over the bottomless pit. He's got power over eternity. And then he said, he left him down there 1,000 years of falling. 1,000 years of falling down there and turn around and bring him back out. Now, I'm telling you, that's power. That's the power of God. He's got all power to do anything. All power. So, therefore, we better put our faith and our trust in him, because he's the only one that can have a heaven for us. That's God the Father. And here's Jesus. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. 14th chapter, St. John, not so I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And certainly, when you see what's going on in heaven, it will be worth it. Listen to me. I want to say that the time you serve on this earth, 70 years, supposed to be the average time. Some make it through to 90, some to 100. But there, the lifespan is very short. Very, very short. Very short. So there's those billions of years of facing you. Wouldn't it pay to see what the end's going to be? Wouldn't it pay for you to just say, well, I'm going to search this out, and I'm going to get it in my mind. See, there is there if a God. I'm going to search it out and see if there is a heaven. I'm going to search it out and see if there is a Jesus. I want to investigate and find out. I'll tell you how you investigate. All you do is just get on your knees and say, Jesus, I am yours. I want to follow you. I want to follow you, Jesus. And I want to know you as my personal Savior. I want to know you, and I want you to come into my heart and save me and speak peace to me and let me know without a shadow of a doubt that there's eternity and there's a heaven, and there's a Jesus, and there's angels. Because it's all there for you. It's all there for you to spend eternity. Where will you spend eternity? You're going to spend eternity inside of God's heaven. And it's beautiful. Now, when you think of all these parts of heaven, the Holy Ghost brings to my memory, when you think of the great city of God sitting right in the middle of heaven as you see it, and when I got up before God's throne and up there where God was, not all the way up to the top of his shoulders, but just at his feet, that satisfied me enough to just be at his feet of God. There you could look all over the millions and millions of square miles of heaven. Hear this beautiful throne of God sitting right in the middle of it all, looking over the mountains and the lakes and the river, the crystal sea, also the sea of glass, and all of these things you could look over. Look to the right hand of God, and that would have been my left hand of God. You could see the beautiful gates, the beautiful gates of heaven where the city four squares. But look the other side. On the other side, you could see that dark black gate. That black-looking gate didn't have no shine to it. It was just no shine to it at all. It was just dull and unshiny. And over there is where I went and stood, at the edge of the precipice of eternal death, at the precipice of oblivion, to the precipice of outside of the wings of Jesus, outside of the protection of the Almighty. There you've gone down into the bottomless, bottomless, bottomless pit. And that's where all of these angels cast out of heaven, all of those that followed Lucifer and followed the devil to try to take over heaven, all out of the presence of God and into eternity with the terrible feeling of never being able to catch on to anything and never be able to come out. What a feeling. That must be, but it's endless. You keep on going down forever and forever and forever. Sometimes I think in my own mind, as I lay in my bed at night and I try to think of how far it is out there, how far it is. Sometimes I ask Jesus how far it is. And he said, no man could ever think in his mind upon this earth how far it is out there in endless eternity. And here we're trying to get some man walking on the moon and going up there, seeing what's up there and investigating all these different stars and planets and all these things and getting out there, shooting out these mechanical instruments out there to investigate. I want you to know they get one out there and it got loose into eternity and keeps going and keeps on going forever. It's going to be gone forever, all the way into eternity. What a tremendous thought that is. And yes, that's the way it is. We were born into this world, that's right, born into this world without knowing who we were, where we come from. Maybe in a little town somewhere, you were born. You were born into this world, born out of a wound of a woman, and born into this world. Wondering what it's all about, a little swaddling baby laying in his cradle, somewhere, someplace, coming, and then he becomes alive, and his thoughts, 7 years old, and he wonders, who am I, where did I come from, what am I? Man has never discovered himself yet, what he really is. No way, he's never discovered himself, never. He just thinks he's somebody. But when he gets to the reality that he is something, that he has a life, that he does have some hope, there's something, must be something different just wandering around this world, just wandering around. And then here comes the man with the Word of God, the Bible, the truth, that which is true. That which is set before thee to make a pathway, a place to go after death. So then this place, as you look at it, and what I saw down in there, all of these terrible, terrible things of falling. All God's got to say, stop, and you'll stop. And that's much power he's got. Got power over all inhabitants of the world is my God. And he got the power. If he said the word, the earth would just jump out of its axis and go flying and burn up in a second if God said the word. And you'd be gone. Everything would be gone. You'd burn up like a comet. Because God's got the power to keep this earth in its axis and keep it rolling on around. And it's turning, going around the sun. He's got power to keep that sun and put that sun stationary in its place, setting on nothing. Then he's got power of all over all the stars and everything. Got power. And here, little man, just little man, goes out to try to explore it, to find out. Too long for man to explore. No way, he couldn't live that long. But he's trying to find out a little bit. And when he can just find all about it, and it'd be all about it by just getting on his knees and saying, Jesus, save me. Just that's all he has to say. And it's all done by revelation. No man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And therefore he also says, no one comes to the Father except by me. So then when I went into this heaven, explore this heaven, found out it was all true, it was all my life, and got inside, there's one spectacular reality that really stills play me through the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the beautiful people, how happy they are, how happy everybody has in heaven. There's no crying. There will be half an hour of it at the judgment. No crying and no tears. Everybody in harmony, having a great time in Jesus. Now, I'd like to say quickly. I've seen some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful singing. I remember one time I was in a convention. Everybody got in the same spirit, swaying in the Spirit of God together. And it was so beautiful as the harmony of the people, the harmony of their wonderful, wonderful, wonderful action together. And in here, you can get in a meeting, in a good Holy Ghost meeting. Everybody gets in the same spirit. And then one has a song, one has a prophecy, one has interpretation. That's the human race adhering to God's power and to God's spirit. That's what it does. Brings us in unity. Wouldn't it be better if we had that type of government instead of these worldly man-made governments? We're going to have that kind of a government one of these days. The governments have one. Because it says, "For unto us a child is born." It also tells the government shall be upon his shoulders. His shoulders. When Jesus is going to run the government, it's going to be a good one. I'm not talking about this one down. I'm talking about the government of heaven. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The heaven will be a government of reality, a government of truth. It will be governed properly by God. And he will be a wonderful, wonderful. I was listening to a little broadcast just a moment ago, telecast, I mean, coming out of Philadelphia, and show how they got together in this first meeting there, trying to set the country straight, trying to make it so it operate and so it worked. So they let the black man free. That was the time that it happened, a little after that. And all these things. They were all from different parts of the states. Some Maryland, some different ones. George Washington. He come in the middle. They trusted him. And then they set him in there. But then there come along a man, a little different, called Abe Lincoln. He come along and made things different. That's right. Even he was a whiskey-drinking, barrel-tipping man. But yet, he come to God, and yet they shot him. After that, they killed Abe Lincoln in that theater, Ford Theater in New York. But he really made the freedom of the people, made it free. It hasn't been come to a perfect reality yet, but it will. And when it will come to a perfect reality, when we all get to heaven, walking around God's heaven in the beauty and the glory of God, walking together, it's going to be wonderful. Because I seen them there, my brothers. I saw the participants of heaven. Like Amy McPherson, and also, all of them up there. All of them up there, like Brother Price, all of them up there. I saw the black man who was head of the Church of God in Christ. What a great little fellow he was. That's right, Bishop Mason. All there, and God's no respecter person. All there in heaven enjoying themselves. And here we think we're having a good time down here. I'll tell you, this is only one life will soon be past. What it's done for Christ will last. And my dear friends, listen to me. Let's pray. Father, in heaven I pray, O God, you touch these hearts out there as listening to this tape. They might get down on their knees and say, right now I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. I'm going to get born again. I'm really going to do it for Jesus. And God will come into your heart. Now this tape, you listen to this voice. Might be somebody else listening to the voice of this tape. You that hear this tape, they might loan it to their neighbors. Just write me a letter. God bless you. I'm your friend. Be with you, and God bless you is my prayer. See you later. Part of talking about the bottomless pit. Actually, I'm glad to get back inside of heaven to tell more what is going on inside of heaven. This is the way it works. When I was in heaven, I saw with my eyes these things, and there's no man, no matter how much could remember all of these things, I had hours of it, and only was there just 5.5 days on the planet and inside the planet heaven. If you read your Bible, you'll find out that think not in that hour, for the Holy Ghost will bring these things to memory. And therefore Jesus is controlling the Holy Ghost, because no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the Holy Ghost brings these things to my memory. Going outside of heaven's windows, that the ones going to the right hand of God, where the blessing tables are and where the tithe offering tables are. Now think of heaven not as just like a bunch of gas floating around that some would have us believe. It would turn into gas and float all through eternity. There'd be nothing to that. The promise of Jesus wouldn't mean anything. In other words, a soul supposed to go into some kind of an animation and then fly out someday as a bird. There's all kinds of funny religions. And another one is supposed to be like a turkey or whatever. The thing is that there's a real heaven. And John saw the new heaven and the new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea, talking about the earthly sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now here's the whole reality of heaven. There's a city, as I've told you many times, inside in the center of heaven. Inside. But on the outside is just like a planet. Like a regular planet, tremendous planet, larger than any planet, the biggest planet of all, the big one. And this planet is, because a mile is 1,000 miles with God, no difference. In other words, no limit in measurement, no limit in time, no limit in eternity. So all of it's limitless according to God's plan. We came outside of heaven, the gates of heaven, begin to explore the outside of heaven, all over it, the planet, traveling over the outside of heaven like a planet. Now, heaven is definitely a planet, not just a place where you'd float around among the stars and have no reason to it. But heaven is a real, genuine planet. So, as I toured the outside of the planet for several hours, outside the planet heaven, and going all over it. Now, going by God's transportation, flying in a chariot, same as Elijah did when he come down here and got a chariot sent after him. Now, the planet heaven has its own flying machines. They're not DC-8s. Or nines, or big airplanes like they are here, controlled and have to put gasoline in them. But on the outside of the planet heaven, now the Holy Ghost, as I saw it, brings all this to my memory of this earthly mind. From the heavenly soul and the mind of the soul, it is now being translated from the heavenly mind of the soul into the mind of the human. That's quite a translation job that the Holy Ghost is doing for me. And all the knowledge and wisdom that I just looked at outside and inside of heaven with my soul eyes are now through the Holy Ghost being revealed to my body or to my natural mind. And anybody can do that, be in touch with heaven. It's just a matter of God, not you doing it. There's no mental telepathy who will do it. There's no of these kind of things, no psychology or any other kind of action or such as education of learning. This is not coming from learning. This is coming from the translation of the heavenly walk to the soul and then being translated into my mind, into my earthly mind. This mind was not in heaven. This mind, what I'm speaking about now, was not inside of heaven. It was dormant, and it was in a coma upon this earth. But then, what makes a man tick is his soul. So therefore, my soul absorbed all this in heaven, and then the Holy Ghost goes to work, and the Holy Ghost takes and transfers it from heaven into my earthly bodily mind. That's quite a combination, but this is exactly the way it happens. Einstein used his earthly mind to split that atom. And that's as far as he got. He didn't get inside of heaven doing it, but he did split the atom and caused all the chaos and trouble we got today. The atom bomb and all the different bombs to destroy and to hurt the human race. Now, the atom action, splitting the atom, is power. That's great power. Therefore, this power, being used sometimes for good, we're about to blow ourselves up with it, with all what's going on. We're about to split the atom. If ever a chain reaction started, the whole thing would blow up. The whole world would blow up. Thank God God's still got control. But he split enough of it to bring power. And do you ever stop to think what would happen if it was a great chain reaction? It would blow the whole world to pieces. That's exactly what the atom, splitting the atom, would do. And they brought it down to control it into a little box. But they got such great mechanical powers to control that little box, and still it bursts out and out once in a while. Now, what would happen if the whole thing ever went loose? I mean, it would be an explosion. But then Jesus told me in heaven, there's going to be a great explosion on this earth. Not going to be the explosion of the atomic bomb or the atom splitting. It's going to be the divine intervention of God with His great power. When he brings his power down the earth, and he's going to say, man, it's enough. You've done enough. Now you're coming to your end. This is it. He's going to say, this is it to the human race. This is the end. That's what God's going to say. You've had your way long enough, like a bunch of little babies down there, and you think you're getting by with it, but you're not, because I'm taking charge. But he said, suffer little children. Jesus, his son, said, suffer little children, come unto me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven, showing the power of God. Now we're back in heaven. Now, as I said, reading the scripture, John saw the holy city, but he also saw a new heaven, a new earth. He saw a new planet of the heaven and a new planet of the earth. So then we went outside unto the crust of heaven, or unto the outside. Most beautiful, most gorgeous. But this doesn't need such as a sun that warms this earth up. Now, God is a consuming fire, and surrounding the heaven is clouds to bring moisture. Clouds around heaven. It's right there, clouds around heaven. And then also fire, and there's thunder, the voice of thunder. God comes out with the voice of thunder. It's right there. God's in the thunder. Not necessarily the thunder of this earth, when you hear it thunder, not of this earth. But his voice is like thunder, till the prophets of old heard his voice. And outside of heaven is this glorious and gorgeous, gorgeous planet. Now, these are real fruit trees on the outside. I'm not like inside of heaven, where they're naturally created by God. But on the outside of heaven, on the outside of planet heaven, the planet. Now, I'm talking about the planet. This is what I saw, and this is what the Holy Ghost is bringing to my memory. We toured the outside of heaven. Now, remember, going from around this world is not very far. But when you figure around heaven, it's more than 2 or 3 million miles around it, because no measurement, God's measurement, is beyond our comprehension. Therefore, it's a big planet, a great big planet. And on the outside, it's beautiful. It's mapped out in the most glorious way, and it's all in order. No going to be no earthquakes at all, because God got control inside. There's nothing like a burst coming out there like does this earth and cause eruption, volcanic action. There's no volcanic action in heaven, none. No volcanoes at all. But in outside of heaven is a solid crust. And this outside of heaven is inhabited by beautiful human beings. But they're angelic beings. They're not the beings that were the pre-Adamite. These are the beings created after God's own likeness. God's got a place, I'm telling you. So let's not get in the idea and say that Adam was the first man and all. That was the first man that God created. But before that, it was a great creation of God. A great, great creation of God. And then, of course, there was a fall of Adamites and all of these and the fallen angels. And it fell on this earth. It became a splitting mess. And Satan took control of this planet down here. And he certainly has messed it up. If you don't believe that, just look at the chaotic conditions going on today. Look what's happened. There's no peace at all. None. Everything's in a turmoil. There's absolutely no peace. You can't hardly trust anybody. That's right. There's no peace. Because when they say peace and safety, the Bible says, sudden destruction shall come upon this earth. Sudden destruction. So So then let's switch back to heaven, where we belong. Heaven is a great planet, and on the outside of heaven is this wonderful, wonderful rivers. Now there's a river of life inside, and the rivers of God on the outside. They all got beautiful names. Now, God is in control of the outside of heaven, the planet heaven, and the whole universe. And He is the one that brings the light to the outside of heaven. And Jesus is the Lamb. He's the Lamb inside of heaven. He's the Lamb of the city. That's right there clear. In other words, He lights up the city. In the city, it says in the city. It doesn't say in the city where the Lamb is the light. That's the city of God. In the city where the Lamb is the light. So He lights up the city. In other words, the city of heaven, the great city heaven. But God lights up the whole reality. Now, the big, great, big God. And he by His power, He lights up the whole outside of heaven, shining beautiful. And on the outside, the trees of all kind of trees I never saw on this earth, and beautiful trees. And beautiful mountains, and beautiful rivers, beautiful valleys, and beautiful lakes. And all the water is clear as crystal, and full of fish. That's right. Now, that's the planet heaven. God's got a heaven up there that is really a beautiful place. Now, when we speak of the Scriptures, if you notice, God said, let there be light. And the sun hadn't been even created yet. Not created. He said, let there be light before the sun was... It's there, right? And it said, let there be light. And all God had to say, let there be light. And the whole earth lit up. That's right, at His presence. And then he put the sun after that. And then He put the moon, sun of the day and the moon at night. We got that. But back in heaven, He hasn't created a sun there for heaven. No way. The heaven itself is a light. The whole heaven itself is like a gigantic sun. The whole heaven is like a gigantic fire. For God is a consuming fire. And God is also a spirit. And we that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. That's correct. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. So then it's spirits in heaven. And we are got a bodily spirit in heaven. Therefore, we're inside heaven. We can travel inside heaven, go to the city and visit the city of God, which is the city four square, and the New Jerusalem, and all of this beautiful place, and the banqueting house, and the needle house, and the throne of God, and the river of life. It's all there. That's where we live. We live in the city of God, in the city of God. That's where the redeemed will go, to the city of God, inside of the planet heaven. But then inside of the planet heaven, there's a city four square, which is only 1,500 cubic miles square, that's all. But yet there's millions of miles up there with no buildings on it. None at all. Just the beauty of God inside. Can you begin to conceive what heaven's all about? How big it is and how great it is? So then you go to the outside of heaven, which I visited after coming out from the part where you could look down in the bottom of the pit. What a horrible thing, the first half of this tape. Here I was brought into the beauty of God. What a difference to the habitation of devils and the habitation of demons and the habitation of devils. Out of looking at that into the beautiful beauty of God. The beauty of God. And so then from there onto the outside of heaven we went and began to tour all over the whole outside of heaven. Trees. We have trees here. Great tree, 35 feet high. Can you imagine a tree 1,000 feet up in the air or more? Can you imagine fruit so luxurious on the outside, loaded, and never a frost to kill it? No tobacco growing out there. God, don't need tobacco. That'll cause cancer. That's a devil's weed. That's cause cancer. It sure will. And not only that, smoking will cause death to others. That's right, the inhaling of the smoke after somebody else has been smoking it is more dangerous than a man smoking it himself. So they'd ought to be considerate of others instead of blowing smoke in your face. But there's no smoke blown in your face all on the outside of heaven. It's all pure. The air is celestial air. The air of God. No ups nor no downs. No cold this morning or hot tonight. No overheated. Not under cold. A temperature so beautiful that you'll enjoy that temperature and the breath of God just breezing through the hole outside of heaven. That's wonderful. That's precious. And that's what heaven's all about. Certainly, after hearing this, you'd want to go there. Anybody should want to go there after hearing this beautiful, beautiful reality of what I'm telling you about. And then you can go on the rivers on the outside of heaven and beautiful boats on the outside. Gorgeous boats operated by and through the Spirit of God. How would you like to have a stay outside of heaven for a couple of hundred years and just tour the outside, go back in to worship God? But go on the outside of heaven and tour all over God's heaven. And it is forever and forever and forever, never to be out, never. That's the world without end. That's the world without end, with no end to it. The heavenly, not this earthly world, but the heavenly planet. Then on the outside, the gorgeous, beautiful, unadulterated beauty of the birds flying around outside, and not one bird falls down dead. As the word of God said, not one sparrow falleth to the ground on this earth, but what? The heavenly Father knows that sparrow fell. Not one death takes place on this earth. Not one death, but what the Father knows about it. He knows. But back on the outside of heaven now. So therefore you tour the outside of heaven in chariots. Now there's chariots inside of heaven, based on the top of the city four square, just to tour the inside of heaven. But on the outside, there's tremendous chariots carrying 1,000 people at one time. And here they are flying around or more, flying around, exploring the outside of the planet heaven. Just to do that, it'll take 1 million years, that big, to see everything. Take 1 million years right there. But when you start going out to the other planets, which is going to happen, you're really, and the chariots will fly out there. God's chariots will fly out. Now, if the chariot of Elijah could come down to this earth and fly through that dark place, leaving this earth and then go through all the heat and all that and make it into heaven, certainly that was some chariot. Nothing bothered. Didn't have to have all those tiles on the outside to keep it going. It come because it went and come down by and through the Spirit of God. And that outer space, that dark space going out through this planet on the way to heaven didn't bother us. No way. We just went right on through it. So here you are now back on the outside of heaven, going all over the place, exploring the beauty of the outside of heaven. Can you imagine these beautiful trees, so tall and so beautiful, just loaded with luxurious fruit on the outside? And then on the outside there's also animals and human beings. But not the type of animals on this earth. These ones never have to have a toilet. Never have to do that. So you don't have a dog mess to clean up in the park. Because there's no such thing on the outside of heaven. It's absolutely clean. In London, they have a law. If you take a dog out, and that dog has to relieve itself, you got to take a shovel and bury it. It's a pretty good law. Here, they don't have that law here. No, so you don't go stepping around in it. But up in heaven, they got all kinds of animals and no mess. You don't have to put them on in leashes. There's the lion. Beautiful. And you go there in the lion. No dens. No lion's den. They're running loose. So you can go up and rub an old lion. And then the giraffes and everything. All on the outside of heaven. The beautiful creation of God on this planet. This planet is already stocked with beautiful animals that will never die. And the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So they have breath. They're breathing the breath of God. And he said he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And that's on. It's going to be poured down here on the flesh, the Spirit. And that Spirit's going to turn that flesh into the Spirit when the end time comes. And there we'll go and spend eternity with God. On the outside of heaven, there are the beautiful, glorious pictures of all of God's creation that was passed for all eternity. What's happened You can see it on the outside of heaven. All the actions of all eternity on the outside. Now, this is a new heaven. God has created this new heaven. And He's put into it all of His power to make it beautiful, to make it so beautiful. And walking down streets in heaven. Now, these streets on the outside of heaven are not paved with old tar, sticky tar, oil, and gooey stuff. They don't have to have the pavement. It's all paved, the outside of heaven, with beautiful gold. All paved, beautiful gold, and the seats on the outside are so gorgeous. And there's all those things, and children can go on the outside. Got millions of square miles over the outside of heaven. Millions of square miles. And it's no place up there that says stay off the grass. You go to that Miami post office, beautiful down there, got a little bit of grass, and it says stay off the grass. Not supposed to walk on it. That's right, stay off the grass. You see that sign. And then you see another sign, no admittance. And you can only go to the gate, and then there's a... that's this earth. That's what's at this earth. In other words, people are protecting their own property from stealing and from thieving and from all of this kind of thing. That's what has to be done down here. But not up there. There's no security guard, no army. Nothing like the army of Jesus inside, and that's the spiritual army to conquer the devil. But there's no army needed on the outside, no bullets, none of this kind of thing on the outside of so much. And all people on the outside are loving one another and getting along with them. God's going to have a population there, and all the wonderful spiritual power of all eternity is going to be absorbed in that one great planet. Boy, what a powerhouse that is. So beautiful, so glorious, and so real. Energy unlimited. Energy for everybody. And a beautiful sunlight of God. God is the sun there, the beautiful sunlight of God. God's sun is Himself. The sunlight, Jesus, different than the sun around this earth. Altogether different. Altogether different. So here you are on the outside of heaven, walking and talking with one another. And the language of heaven is not English. It's not talky-talky. It's not French. It's not German. It's not Russian. It's not that all started at the Tower of Babel. The language of heaven is God's language. And that language is spoken all through the whole planet system of eternity, the language of God. How do you learn the language of God? Well, all you do is pray. Seek God with all your heart and soul. When you do, you begin to speak in God's language. That's right. Speaking God this way, you'll understand what God's language is all about. It's the language of God. Now, when Jesus opened heaven's windows and Paul was going along there, and he heard him speak in the Hebrew tongue, and he said, "Who is it, Lord?" He said, "Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecute, it's hard to kick against the pricks." But that language is not Hebrew. That language is God's language. When you pray, out of your belly shall flow the rivers of languages of God. When you're in the Spirit, that's the spiritual language you can have right down here. The spiritual language. Prophesy tells you some will prophesy. One will have a psalm. And that's God's power down on this earth to control the voice of man. And so He's going to control. He is controlling the voice of heaven. Inside of heaven, there are many, 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 many things for you to see. I remember the bells as God's bringing it to my memory through the Holy Ghost, hanging all up over the throne of God on nothing seemingly. There's no hooks up there. They're just hanging. How do they hang? Well, they're just hanging. That's all. They're just hanging. And like in a space up there, just hanging and ringing. Now, that's a phenomenon in its own self. We got a lot of spectacular things here, but nothing like that. See thousands of bells hanging up, and up there, and nothing to hold them up, just ringing. And the outside of heaven, the music comes out of heaven to the outside of heaven. You don't need loudspeakers to play it. You don't need to read a contraption like we got here. It comes into the ears of the people, the music of heaven, and all through eternity. The voice of God at the judgment will be heard all through eternity. God will speak, and it will be heard on every planet. God will speak to the voice, and every planet through the whole universe for millions and billions of miles will hear the voice of God. The voice of God will be the ultimate. That will be the ultimate word. That will be absolutely the word of God. And His word is forever settled in heaven. It's right there. His word, says the Bible, is forever settled in heaven. So then if it's settled in heaven, then it gets into the hands of God and God speaks in heaven. When He speaks, all of the outside of heaven hears it, and the old prophets heard His voice down here. People say, well, I heard God say this and God say that and God say this. Of course they can, because God speaks, and it has to have a receiving station. Your ear can become the receiving station of the voice of God. Because when you're tuned to heaven through prayer, when you're tuned to heaven in prayer, this is when you will be able to hear God's voice, all so beautiful, and the music. Then the music. Outside of heaven, the music was so good and so precious that, praise God, you could not even find one note out of tune. So let's have a word of prayer. May God bless you. Father, I thank You for Your love and tender mercy. I thank You, O Lord, for the reality and the truth. Blessed Father, be with us and guide us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Love You, Lord, and may love us in Jesus' name. We want to be everywhere. And there'll be many people who write about even this experiences. There'll be, sure, you're going to get pro and con and everything. That's all right. But the truth is the truth. And the truth will stand when the world's on fire. And heaven's truth. And I want to say to you, God bless you and be you is my prayer. May God bless you.